Back with Bob Babbitt. He is co-founder of Competitive Magazine, big figure in Challenged Athlete Foundation, does his own radio show. So, Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, bud.
We're really glad to have you here. Boy, this is really something. Gosh, I mean, we don't know anything about your early history. You just want to tell us really quickly, born and raised where? And
We start in the womb.
Born in Chicago, grew up there, went to University of Illinois, came to San Diego in 78.
78.
And fell into the whole endurance world, ran some marathons, and read about this event called the Ironman.
Now, you were into running in school early
No, just basically ball sports stuff. But when I came out here, obviously, this is the endurance sport.
So how did you get into the Ironman? I mean, 78 was the first Ironman in Hawaii, right?
15 starters, 12 finishers. Same thing in 79.
You moved here and immediately fell in with the Ironman.
Well, there was an article in Sports Illustrated in 1979, and it showcased the winner of the 79 Ironman, a guy named Tom Warren, who owned Pub's Tavern in Pacific Beach.
I've got a tank top from there. It still smells like the grease from the tacos.
Exactly. And we had done, to show you how far back this is, my roommate at the time was a guy named Ned Overend, who became the world mountain bike champion. Mm-hmm. Mountain bikes hadn't been invented yet. Mm-hmm. So he was working at San Diego Suzuki, tuning up motorcycles, and I was a school teacher, and we read about this thing called the Ironman in Sports Illustrated and tracked down Tom Warren, because it's not like you go online and find out how to get in this thing.
Now, he started in PB with that run, swim, run thing around.
And we had done that. Yeah. We had done the run, swim, run, and it was a half-mile swim around Crystal Pier, five-mile run on the beach to the jetty and back, and then you swam around the pier again.
And then you had a big party after.
Well, the key was the top 75 people got breakfast at Tug's. So you ran right through the finish line and right to Tug's because you wanted your slimy breakfast and your glass when the 76 guy showed up. So because you had bragging rights.
Boy,
right? 76
place,
got nothing.
That place made McDonald's smell like perfume, I'll tell you.
Yeah. It was a pretty special place. But Tommy was the one who became our mentor on how to do this Ironman thing, because we had no idea. We went out to the police auction and bought a bike for $75. The whole back end was burnt.
But I mean, you got into the publishing. I mean, did you envision a great success in the world of publicizing this?
No idea. I just came back after finishing the Ironman, and I thought you did the thing in 2 days. I thought you swam 2.4, rode 56,
Went to a hotel,
rode back the next day, and ran the marathon. So I had pannier, sleeping bag, a tent on the bike. It was a little bit of a surprise that you did the whole thing in one day. But I ended up doing it one day with my support crew and their little Fiat convertible.
What was your first year?
1980.
80 for you.
Okay. They gave me a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke at mile 25.
Oh,
a beer snow cone at mile 80 of the bike.
Oh,
and then
we know a lot about nutrition then, right?
Full-on body massage at the end of the bike ride for 45 minutes.
And
while everybody else is racing, I'm getting a massage with a little boombox playing tinkling music.
And a laxative, okay.
But when I finished, it sort of gave me this business card that told me that I could do anything. Mm-hmm. And so I came back, and it was a guy named Mike Plant who had a magazine called San Diego Track Club News, became Running News.
I remember Mike.
And I came back, and I was like, God, this event is so cool. This sport of triathlon is so cool. We should change your magazine from Running News to Running and Triathlon News. And based on the 100 idiots who raced in 1980, Mike eventually acquiesced, and I left teaching and became his LA editor and created some weird characters for the magazine called the Reverend Campagnola, Minister of Triathlon, Old Fart of the Month, the Running Wino. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we got a little roll.
Traction.
And when the magazine went out of business, I was in a position with the art teacher from the school, Lois Schwartz, had left teaching with me to become the photographer at Running and Triathlon News. So we were in a position of, well, what do we do now? Magazine just went out of business. And I went and met with, there was two cycling magazines in the state, Southwest Cycling and California Bicyclists, both of them free mags like ours. Uh-huh. I said, if we do something that covers running, triathlon, and cycling, it could be really popular. And both publishers told me the same thing. We'll never put a skinny runner in the cover of a magazine. And triathlon's a fad. It'll be gone in 5 years. This is May of 87.
Famous
Came back to San Diego. And some of our friends and advertisers gave Lois and I a check for $17,000 and said, go start your own magazine.
Yeah. I'm going to take a little credit here, too, because I met you, I think it was a race down in PB or Mission Beach somewhere, and Carol LeBeau was in it.
Yep.
And you wrote something in your magazine about Carol LeBeau waddling across the finish
yes,
line.
Yes, I did.
I took that to Michael Tuck, because he was doing his commentaries at Channel 10 at the time. And he did a commentary about Carol LeBeau can waddle across my finish line anytime.
Exactly.
Or whatever. And I thought that was good publicity for you. So
it was really good.
So you're welcome.
And she's a very fast waddler. And she will tell you, Carol was an amazing swimmer.
Yeah,
running was not her strength.
Right, right. Yeah. But great gal, and I've known her all these years, and she's on the East Coast now with her husband.
So when we started Competitor, and Running Triathlon News went out of business in April, we started June 1, And the whole concept was we were, you know, under 20,000 pounds of bike racks in a little shed in Del Mar.
Mm-hmm.
We had our first print bill was 17 grand and we had 20 grand.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we loved it. Mm-hmm. We loved what we were doing. We drove to LA every weekend. We went to running and triathlon cycling events and we felt we wanted to grow. We had to grow the sport before growing our business.
Right.
And that was the creation of Competitor Radio and the Competitor Awards, because we wanted people to listen to an interview with a Wayne Gretzky or a Magic Johnson on a sports radio station,
mm-hmm.
then hear Dave Scott or Mark Allen or Alberto Salazar and realize mm-hmm. these athletes are special too. And mm-hmm. that really helped the growth of our industry and the growth of our sport. And mm-hmm. now, like I just mentioned, there's 45 full Ironmans around the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's 95, what they call 70.3, which is half Ironmans. And that company, Ironman, sold recently to the largest landowner in China for $900 million. So
yeah.
What we started as a little industry with 100 of us morons on a beach in Waikiki has now grown to a pretty big industry.
Now, challenged athletes, we should say,
yes.
folks, this October 24th is your 22nd.
23rd.
Yeah, 23rd. Well, 23rd yeah. is the first one, but I yeah. mean that if you want to come down and see the parade of athletes at La Jolla Cove, because I know you're moving the swim to the shores because of the sea lion issue.
Yes. Yep.
But if you want to come down Sunday at 7, tomorrow that will be, because it's airing Saturday night. That's great. Bob
yep.
introduces all these athletes. Bill Walton will be there. Robin Williams used to be
Bill's
there.
Bill's riding down the coast right now, right?
Bill's yeah. doing our $1 million challenge right now. It's 620 miles over yeah. 7 days, and there's 120 riders, and they'll
yeah.
raise about $1.2 or $1.3 million for CAF.
Yeah.
We'll raise about the same at the triathlon. We've raised over $76 million now and sent out over 13,000
wow.
grants.
So
we'll have a number of our Paralympic medalists will be with us this weekend as well. 44% of the whole U.S. team was supported by Challenge Athletes Foundation, and over 60% of the medal winners were CAF-funded
yeah.
athletes.
Now, what inspired the genesis for Challenged Athletes?
A friend of ours by the name of Jim McLaren was a football player at Yale. Mm-hmm. 1985, he was taking acting classes in New York City, was on his motorcycle.
NFL player?
No, Yale.
Yale,
yeah,
okay.
300-pound lineman, and he got hit by a New York City bus, was on his motorcycle, thrown 90 feet in the air, dead on arrival, lived, but lost his lower left leg. And he came back from that to become the Babe Ruth of amputee athletes. He reinvented what someone could do with a prosthetic leg. Because remember, they're not using what you see nowadays.
Yeah.
He was using a one step up of Captain Hook.
Mm.
And he ran a 3:16 marathon, went 10:42 at the Ironman in Hawaii. He was top 20% of everybody in the race. And Jimmy, that's when I started covering him at Competitor. He was this amazing athlete, very visible.
Mm-hmm.
He had really good sponsorship, traveling the world as basically a professional athlete. Fast forward 8 years, he's racing in Mission Viejo. He's on his bike. A van goes through a closed intersection, hits the back of his bike, propels him into a pole head first.
God.
He becomes a quadriplegic.
Oh my
and
gosh.
At that point, Jeffrey Esikow, Rick Kozlowski, who was a local race director, myself got together to put on an event for Jimmy. And from interviewing paralyzed athletes over the years, one thing I heard loud and clear when I asked them, what's the worst part about being paralyzed? Worst part was being 30 years old. Here come mom and dad back in my life. No sense of self, no sense of independence.
Yeah.
So our goal was put on a little triathlon, raise $25,000, buy Jimmy a van he can drive with his hands to give him that independence.
Mm.
Put on the race, raised $49,000, think our job is done. Three amputee women come up to us and go, you know, Jimmy's our hero. He's the one who got us into endurance sports. Do you realize your health insurance will cover a walking around leg or an everyday chair if you get injured? But anything to do with sport is considered a luxury item and not covered. So that's when we got our 501(c) and decided if anybody needed a piece of equipment, travel expenses, or training expenses to stay in a game of life through sport, Challenge Athletes Foundation would be there for them. And like I said, we've sent out over 13,000 grants. We've raised over $76 million, and it's been a gift.
And your yeah. 24th anniversary, right?
24th anniversary
wow.
this Sunday.
Yeah.
We'll do a running clinic at the JCC one day, and then the tomorrow mm-hmm. is going to be our 24th annual yeah, San Diego Triathlon
Sunday.
Challenge.
So challengeathletes.org, folks, if you want to get more information about that. And we're coming up on our break in a little bit, but we'll talk about Emmanuel's Gift, another important grant that got made into a film with Oprah Winfrey narrating. I'll come back with Bob Abbott right after this. Hang on. We're back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and this is a time where Richard likes to thank our sponsors.
Big thank you to all of our sponsors. We couldn't do the show without them. Of course, UBS with Michael Caronta. Big thanks to UBS and Michael for backing the show for the last, it's almost 5 years now, Joe. Mm-hmm. Also, our favorite CPAs on the planet. We got two groups of them, more traditional CPAs, Polito Epic CPAs in San Marcos with Don Epic and Paul Polito. Also, the specialized firm of Signature Analytics with Jason Kruger, CPA, a great CFO service firm all along the West Coast. Joel Gruskin, recent guest, Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Also, Geiger Law Office, Brenda Geiger, attorney at law, specializes in asset protection and estate planning. Our favorite bankers on the planet, California Republic Bank with Sean Puckett, Lane Elliott, working with high net worth families and family offices. Neil Staley, Hub International, formerly known as Mars Maddox Insurance, an incredible employee benefits firm. December 1 is open enrollment for many, many companies, so we highly recommend Hub International. Also, I just spoke at the LG Experience and the Lombardi Group, helping wealth advisors make heroes out of CPAs to the CPA's very best clients. Speaking of wealth advisory services, also, Paul Hines, CEO of Hearthstone Private Wealth Management. Paul, of course, also heads up the SeniorSafeAndSound.org initiative here in San Diego, helping to prevent financial abuse against the elderly. Our favorite mortgage broker, Nathan Watkins. Interest rates remain low, whether you're buying or refinancing. Nathan Watkins. Also, Carl Sheeler, speaking of great charities, Two Bears Ranch in Colorado, bringing equine therapy to veterans with PTSD. And our great friend, Michelle St. Clair, with Elite Lifestyle Management, helping those of us who have no time get things done all across the country, like the presentation I did recently in San Antonio, where I had 8 RSVPs and 50 people showed up and had to make some really quick last-minute adjustments. Elite Lifestyle Management handles things like that with great aplomb. And of course, since Kathy Kinane is on the show, the Oceanside Turkey Trot, now the 8th largest turkey trot in the country, 2nd largest in California. Thanksgiving morning, yes, it's worth $40 to see me run in a 9-pound turkey costume. Bob knows a little bit about that too, although I'm not sure if he's ever been a turkey. And speaking of turkey, I'm getting hungry, Joe. So what can we do for our listeners who are getting hungry too?
Our rather great sponsor, we'd like to thank Lestat's Coffee Houses in Normal Heights, University Heights, and now Hillcrest, open 24/7, 365. All great food, crowded all the time, and a great atmosphere, and very popular. Also, the Very Good Food Foundation and Michelle Ciccarelli-Lirac, who, by the way, big fan of Challenge Athletes, hosted a big peers event and where I talked to Bob and interviewed
and an
him
upcoming guest.
A couple of years ago. And and there you have it. So, Rich, I know they've all been working with you with great success. If people get over to iymoney.com, there's a sponsor tab, there's and a drop-down menu. They can learn all about our sponsors there.
So, some cases, 30 years.
Absolutely.
Hate to admit it.
Yeah. Anyway, back with Bob Babbitt. We're talking about important grants and great work they've done that challenged athletes. And about 10, 11 years ago, I wasn't riding a bus with Billy Bush. I was seeing a film called Emmanuel's Gift. And, boy, what an inspiring, compelling film. Oprah Winfrey narrated it. Robin Williams was in it. Bob, that letter from Ghana arrives in Solana Beach. Did you open the envelope? Or?
Well, when we saw the envelope, first of all, I didn't know where Ghana was. I thought it was maybe south of Cleveland. I had no idea where the heck this place is. And we received this grant. And remember, this is 05. We've been around since like 93 or so, but we're still small. Mm-hmm. And this young man named Emmanuel Afosu Yeboah was asking for a grant of a bicycle. He had been born in Ghana. He had a birth defect, so he was missing the tibia on one leg. So he had a fibula and a foot sticking out the back of his knee. 20 million people in Ghana, 10% of the population is disabled.
Yes.
So it's a huge issue over there. So the disabled are shunned, and the disabled are considered cursed.
Correct.
So Emmanuel's father was told to abandon him. Mm-hmm. His mother refused to do that, and she would carry him to school every day. Mm-hmm. And then when he turned 13, his mom got very ill. And he left school to shine shoes for $2 a day to support the rest of the family. When he turned 18, his mom passed away, and he decided he wanted to do something to honor her life and honor her legacy. So he decided he wanted to ride a bike across Ghana.
Which is
to
about, change six, the, about 600
yeah,
miles, right?
Yeah,
it's a fairly decent
yeah,
size.
Yeah, 600 kilometers across Ghana. And so the thought was he sent, through a missionary, he found CEF online, and he sent us his grant request. Mm-hmm. And when we looked at it, his birth date was May 5th. And that's my birthday.
Oh, really?
So we decided send him a bike. We'll never hear from the kid again. He'll who knows what he'll do with the bike. Well, he rides 600 kilometers on one leg across Ghana, and people are running after him in the streets.
Well, for one thing, nobody in Ghana has a new bike. So he became a rock star.
Big time.
And got all kinds of, I guess, global media coverage, right?
He got a lot of media coverage. And from that, we decided to bring him here to San Diego. He'd never been on a plane, never been out of Ghana, showed up here with $3 in his pocket. And so he ended up doing the 56-mile bike ride that was part of our event.
Down in La Jolla, right?
Yeah, down in La Jolla, riding up Torrey Pines with one leg on a mountain bike. Took him 7 hours.
Yeah, he had no prosthetic.
Afterwards, no prosthetic. Yeah. Afterwards, I said, so, Emmanuel, what'd you think of the ride? He goes, Bob, I did not realize San Diego was so hilly. So then we decide, we meet with Loma Linda Hospital and ask if this kid is a candidate for a prosthetic. And they say he is. So we send him back to Ghana and set it up. We'll take care of transportation. We'll take care of the cost of the leg. They'll take care of a homestay, and they'll take care of the operation. So right before we brought him back, I started thinking about it. It's going to be great to do this transformation of this young man, but if we don't capture this, if we don't film this. So I called a friend of mine, Lisa Lax, who produced all the Emmy Award-winning shows for the Ironman, as well as all the profiles for the Olympics for NBC, Dick Ebersol's right-hand person. Mm-hmm. Her and her twin sister, who produced the Tour de France for CBS, had just left television to create a documentary film company. So I said, guys, I don't know what this is, five-minute film, a full documentary, I don't know, but I think it'd be really cool to capture what his leg looks like now, be there for the operation, and be there when there's a bike ride next year with two legs rather than one. Mm-hmm. And Lisa goes, that's great. When's he coming? Like 5 months, 6 months? I said, no, 5 days. She puts a crew on a plane to Ghana. They start filming. They come, and he has the operation, and they're shooting all this. Six weeks after the operation, he does a triathlon, runs 3 miles, rides 10 miles.
Where was
and does
that?
At Loma Linda.
Wow.
So then he goes back to Ghana, cameras following him, gets off the plane with his $15,000 prosthetic in a country with a per capita income of $400.
Yeah.
And he's wearing jeans for the first time in his life because in the past, he couldn't wear long pants because his legs stuck out the back of his knee.
Right.
So now we're talking a ticker tape parade through his city. To his house.
He meets the king of Ghana, I remember.
Wow, yeah, exactly. So when people say that they can't impact the life, I mean, how do we change the world? I mean, here's a guy who was shining shoes for $3 a day in Ghana. And so what happened to him next is he comes back and does our bike ride with two legs rather than one, goes 4 hours rather than 7 hours, receives our most inspirational athlete award from Robin Williams, flies up to Nike to receive the Casey Martin Award for people who are inspirational to disabled, which comes with a $25,000 grant.
Oh, my gosh.
We match it with $25,000 and make him our ambassador of Ghana. Then we fly him to New York to have a sit down with the Secretary General of the United Nations, Kofi Annan, talk about the rights of the disabled in Ghana. Then we send a rough cut to Oprah, who agrees to narrate it. And the next thing you know, we're having the premiere of the film at the National Geographic Theater in Washington, D.C.
Oh my gosh.
We get a call that President Bush would like to meet Emmanuel,
which
we did the night before. We did the night before the movie.
And I met him at Bill and Michelle Lirak's home one day. He was there for some event in his African garb, by the way.
Yep.
But in this film, folks, when he puts on a suit for the first time, you will cry a river of tears. I mean, he is so filled with pride. Yeah. I mean, it's just a phenomenon. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
He became a motivational speaker, and he had two little girls. He named his first little girl Linda after Loma Linda Hospital.
Oh,
his second little girl Comfort after his mother.
And he's got a cat named
Loma.
He's
a perfect example when you tell people that you can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
This young man changed the world and changed his own life. And the cool part was President Bush was in a photo with Emmanuel. The president of Ghana had not done much for Emmanuel trying to get a disability act passed in his country. So when we met with President Bush at the White House, and there was a photo in the papers in Ghana the next day, when Emmanuel got off the plane in Ghana, the president of Ghana was there to meet him and said, I will get your disability act presented to parliament, and 6 months later was passed. That's the power of,
now, do they have a king? Do they have a king and a president?
There's kings. There's lots. There's like each area has a king.
Joe. Yeah.
There's a bunch of kings.
There's regional kings.
I remember a very corpulent little king there. But we'll come more back with Bob Abbott with more of this great talk right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with Bob Abbott, head of Challenge Athletes Foundation, Competitor Magazine, great history in running triathlons and everything else. Great.
So Bob, does Emmanuel still get back out here to San Diego?
He does. He comes out here and does some presentations, but he's a busy guy. He was trying to, I think he recently did a bike ride up the coast to Oregon. He's a pretty special young man.
Yeah. Hey, Robin Williams used to come out and participate all the time, and we're all still reeling from that loss. But do you have a reward, an award in his honor, a memorial award? That might be a good idea.
You know what? We have, what's great is his three, right now, the Robin Williams estate is auctioning off 87 of Robin Williams' bicycles.
Oh, my God.
87 bicycles. He's a big bicycle fanatic.
I guess.
And the proceeds are going to go to Challenge Athletes Foundation and the Dana and Christopher Reeve Foundation.
Oh, my gosh.
We're splitting them. So right now that auction is going through October 25th, and people can find that online. They just go Robin Williams auction. They'll find it. Hmm. But Robin's kids, his three kids, will be down this weekend, and on Sunday we will be giving out three grants in Robin's name.
Wow.
That each one of his children will present.
That is
so
great.
And Robin, one of my favorite stories with Robin, well, one, he was on Team Braveheart with Rudy Garcia Tolson, double above knee amputee, mm-hmm. doing the swim, Robin doing the 56-mile bike ride, and Scott Tinley, two-time Ironman champion, mm-hmm. doing the run. They were Team Braveheart because Rudy used to carry a little business card when he was 7 years old that said, "A brave heart is a powerful weapon." Mm. And they teamed up year after year after year, and I used to say to Robin, so, you know, Rudy really loves you and really cares about you. He says, "Rudy doesn't care about me. All he cares about is that I'm his video game pimp. I get him any games he wants, I get for him." And then my other favorite thing with Robin loved our race day on Sunday. And what he loved most of it, more than anything, was that people would come up, like you usually have your weather person out there doing the morning, right? And someone would come up and go, "We'd like to get a couple words from Robin." And I'd be like, "Sure, let me go ask Robin. Is it live?" "Yes, it is." So I go, Robin, it's live.
Famous last words.
Live microphone is like putting raw meat in front of a lion, right, with Robin Williams. Yeah. So we're standing there. This woman, I remember this one time, this woman goes, "So, Mr. Williams, how are you going to feel at the end of the 56-mile bike ride?" Okay. He goes, "How am I going to feel? I'm going to feel like there's a river of sweat like Niagara Falls running down the crack of my
You know what?
And then your woman would turn like white, and Robin be high-fiving everybody. It was the coolest thing.
Oh, he did perspire. I got to tell you, back in 1977, the Comedy Store was where T.D. Hayes yep. was for about a year and a half. I didn't even have a car. I walked there. I lived in Crown Point, and he wasn't the first show I saw. Welcome back, Mr. What's the guy? Welcome
Gabe
back,
Kaplan.
That was the first show I saw.
Gabe
but
Kaplan.
But a few weeks later, this guy Robin Williams showed. This is when he first was doing stand-up because he was a trained Shakespearean actor. I want to tell you, he knocked that room out. Wouldn't use the microphone. So when he got through with his show, he was drenched in sweat.
He was. Yes.
And I saw him another time at the Improv. And I said, "Robin, I got a dry shirt in the car. You want me to get it?" Because he was like totally drenched out in the patio. He goes, "No, don't do that. I think the combination might be explosive or something." Because I was kind of making him. I do shtick myself, as you probably know. Yes. But anyway, God is great, Robin. And now Bill Walton. Another great fan of Challenged Athletes and been involved with you for like, what, nine years
He's
or so?
He's been around a while. And what happened is Bill reached out to us and said, "You know, Bob, I've heard about CAF for a number of years and I'd like to find out more." Mm-hmm. And he came to the office. We showed him some videos. And I mean, Bill was sobbing because of the stories. Our stories are amazing.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I feel awful that I have not been involved before, but I will make up for lost time," which he has. He's been on our $1 million challenge bike ride. I think this year he was our largest fundraiser on that ride, close to $300,000.
He's overcome some amazing.
He's a challenged athlete.
Yeah. He's a challenged athlete.
He's had over 36 surgeries.
Yeah, his ankles are fused.
Yes.
Obviously, this last spinal.
Well, I mean, he was in so much pain.
He was suicidal. He was suicidal. But gosh, I know he'll be down there. He loves the cycle, and
then he'll be down there for opening ceremonies, and I'm sure he'll do the bike ride as part of the San Diego Triathlon Challenge on Sunday. But he's very special.
He's so generous with his time. You know, a lot of public figures, you know, they kind of get sick of people, you know, asking for autographs. Or whatever. Yeah. I did happen to have lunch with him one day at a restaurant in Del Mar, and right in the middle of lunch, at least five people walked up. You know, he's in the middle of a bite of a sandwich, and can I have an autograph? Can I take a picture? Oh, sure. No, put his sandwich down, take a smile. I mean, he's got such a great heart.
So the last time I was at Bill's house, he was on a phone call, so he hands me a Frisbee. He goes, "Richard, it's about 10 minutes. Go out in the yard and play with the dogs."
Nice.
So I did.
Anyway, he's
very special. We've had some, and watching him ride down the coast 1 year, it was Chris Mullen, Rick Barry, and Bill Walton. It's like a NBA Hall of Fame ride. It was very, very special.
So the statue you think now of him is going to be at the Sports Arena, now the Valley View Sports Center. I wish they would have just called the Valley View Sports Arena because everyone still calls it the Sports Arena.
You don't use the word Sports Arena.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So I guess they're trying to rebrand or whatever.
It was at your office, right?
It was at the CAF office for a long time, yeah. But I like the idea of moving it around. You want it for, you having a birthday party? Yeah, Bill comes.
Well, exactly.
My choice is now that nice bridge leading from Balboa Park at the east edge into the Rose Garden. I think on the west side, kind of near the Natural History Museum, put that statue there with maybe a statue of a young kid and a challenged athlete with a prosthetic, and then another kid with a basketball or something on either side of him. And I think that would be a nice permanent.
That'd be great. It'd be a great way to honor him.
But anyway, you have more influence in that arena than I do.
I think you've got more.
But well, collectively, maybe we all do. So
we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
we always do. So Bob, you still run, ride, swim?
I do actually. I've probably done about 20 triathlons this summer. Okay. Just did a 70.3 race at the Super Frog down in Oceanside, down in Coronado. One of my favorite events. Actually, was in Imperial Beach this year, and went to Hermosa Beach on Sunday and raced in my 65 to death category, which I'm very excited to still be part of. But no, I love it. Endurance sports is my life, and it's like, it's not work. It's we go to parties every weekend. People are coming there because they love to participate and sweat and enjoy themselves.
Well, speaking of challenged athletes, everyone's fighting the waistline these days. Once you guys have an overweight event where you've got to be overweight to get into this
thing.
And let's get all the fatties, including myself, out there. And, we'll waddle, we'll run, walk. When Richard, was recovering from my surgery, and he put on about 40 pounds?
About 40 pounds.
And what did the doctor say? Just go run and walk?
He said walk 5 minutes, jog 5 minutes, walk 5 minutes.
Maybe it's like,
and go home,
maybe it's a do what you can event, or just to get people back into this. It may be because I used to run a lot. I just couldn't. Yep. I stopped because I didn't know dude all the t-shirts anymore.
You're giving it charity, Joe.
There you go. I think the main deal is I think as you age, you realize that so much of it is nutrition. It's all about what you put in your mouth. And working out is really secondary to that. I've lost about 25 pounds.
Doing
and
went what?
Basically got rid of bread, butter, sugar, salt,
got rid of everything.
They say the fat's not so bad, but it's the sugar, I think, that really
drinks. Salts.
I think we ought to just cut out soft drinks. What's the state of soft drinks in our schools? Does anybody know? Richard, you're in the movie, before you eat. Do they still allow soft drinks to be sold in schools?
Some do, some don't. A lot of schools planting vegetable gardens, doing all kinds of cool things.
I know, but they really should ban those soft drinks, because I do think that's probably ruined a lot of people. And even the artificial sweeteners, I don't like any of that. Water, water, water. Right?
Lots of water.
I agree with you 1,000%.
Yeah. You lost 25 pounds? I can't imagine.
25 pounds, yeah. And went from 24% body fat to 16, all in about 13, 14 weeks, just changing nutrition. Didn't change a thing in the way I worked out.
So what's your typical diet in a day?
My wife makes muffins with almond flour. Uh-huh. I have those with bananas, apples, etc. in the morning, and I'll have chicken breast or something like that at lunch.
What do you eat before you go do a try?
What I've always the muffins and some fruit. But the reality is that I haven't had bread in probably a year and a half or dessert.
I'm Italian, so I can't speak without waiting bread in my
hand. I gave up bread, but I'm telling you. Well, I had a cold for a couple of weeks. I was doing pretty well in the gym, and then I stopped because I was fighting this cold. And, of course, we make excuses and whatever, but we should have a no-excuses event. Come on, let's get the fatties out there.
Get the fatties out there. I always like that.
I think that's a great idea. So Sunday, 7 a.m., Challenged Athletes, La Jolla Cove, 24th annual. What highlights, any other? I think I know Bill Walton. Anybody else that we should be looking for?
Well, mainly we've got so many of our Paralympic medalists. As I said, 44% of the team, U.S. team, was supported by CAF. And we've got, I think, about 20 Paralympic medalists will all be participating here. So it's going to be great.
I went a few years ago. I'll tell you, folks, if you want to get inspired, you see these young kids out there missing more than one limb, paralyzed, whatever. But anyway, Bob Babbitt, thanks for being our guest.
Bob, really appreciate it.
You can hear Bob on radio
today.
Just look him up, Google him, you'll find him. But Richard, great seeing you. Justin Hart, our board operator, thanks for making it sound terrific. Thanks to Craig Blakey, our co-executive, to Dave Smith, our programming genius here. All these podcasts are commercial-free on iWymany.com. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.